The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, but better to just use that for the text line today. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. If you missed the first hour, you missed Roy Jones Jr., you missed sort of Jim Lampley. That got
you missed a little Donald Trump action.
Yeah, Donald Trump somehow got
Donald Trump sabotaged our interview with Jim Lampley.
And well, I think it's because of all the mean things you've said about him.
About Jim Lampley or Donald Trump?
Donald Trump.
Possibly.
Yeah. I think he'd been listening. He decided to jump in. And and it was very strange because if you listen to it on the podcast, you can't hear anything.
I saw a great meme today that said the I'm not voting for Trump starter kit.
Yeah.
And it was just a picture of a brain.
That's pretty good.
That is solid.
Yeah. Somebody wants to know, what do you think about Manfred's comments about inevitable Major League Baseball expansion with Mexico City being a front runner? I actually think Montreal is a front runner.
It's unbelievable, though.
Yeah.
There should be no expansion of baseball. If anything, there should be contraction. I've said that before. Baseball's watered down as it is. I mean, I guess recently you've seen some teams, like you saw what the Royals did. You've seen the Pirates be good, but there's just not enough talent to fill all these teams, it seems.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the idea of expansion. I think they're – especially since you've got some teams that don't draw anyway.
I mean, yeah.
Decent teams. So
you've got pretty good teams just playing in front of empty stadiums. It's that ain't good.
So Catherine Sophia won the – Kentucky Oaks. I think my 13 ran second, which means I hit the exact. I don't know what the odds were because I couldn't watch it because we were doing a show.
Yeah.
And it's not on here. There's only one TV here, and it's on ESPN, I guess, because there was the show here earlier and they wanted to show them. So, anyway, hopefully that was a good paying exacta. I have no idea what it paid. So. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And what are your thoughts on the basketball this weekend? You got any games you like? I know the Spurs, I think, are going to bounce back in a big way.
I like the Spurs tonight. I think the Cavs may end up sweeping this series. I think they will.
I think they will sweep this series.
The Hawks were upset at how they handled it. They weren't professional. We talked about this a lot yesterday. I think the Cavs are just that much better than them. I mean, the Hawks are a team that they're decent. I don't want to say they're garbage, but they're nowhere near the same level as this Cavs team. And I think the Cavs right now are hitting their stride. And my confidence that Golden State or San Antonio is a surefire lock to win the title is fading with every Cavs game that I watch, because I think about LeBron James in the finals with a healthy Kyrie Irving and a healthy Kevin Love. And I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to just say without question they can't win. And I'm also starting to realize that if you're going to want value come finals time, it's going to be on the Cavaliers. You know, you're not going to get a plus next to the Warriors or the Spurs in the NBA Finals.
And with the fact that you don't know what's going to happen with Steph Curry, I think that makes it an even bigger possibility that the Cavaliers could win it.
Yep.
And I think most people would just kind of assume the Cavs would come out of the East and then they wouldn't be able to win. But I don't know if I'm impressed because they look this good or if I'm being kind of fooled a little bit because the East sucks.
I mean, the East sucks.
And the Hawks just aren't that good of a team.
But the Cavs don't suck. That's a good team.
No, no. But I think that is part of it, is that they're going to just roll through this conference, and whoever they play next, I don't think it's going to be much of a
Well, what you've seen out of the Raptors Heat, you can't feel too great about their chances against the Cavs either.
God, no.
I mean, Kyle Lowry tried his best to lose that game last night, and the Heat just did nothing in overtime. But, you know, Kyle Lowry hit the shot that kind of put them ahead, but he also just had a horrible game overall. I mean, it was a very strange game for Kyle Lowry. And
was he out practicing again afterwards?
I don't know. I don't think so. I didn't. That game was long enough. I didn't stick around and watch after.
All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. And we'll be back in studio on Monday, so we'll be able to get back to taking phone calls again, which unfortunately
we know you guys miss us.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much you really miss us, but I do think that's – you know, I like it when we can actually have conversations in addition to, you know, us talking. And social media is great. Love social media, but it's also still it's always better to have phone calls every now and then. Interact with the people, man. I like that. Nick says it's really hard to tell with the Cavs because the teams are playing are trash. But really, isn't every team in the West pretty much except for the basically what you're getting now with Spurs and
I don't think the Thunder are trash. I don't think they're good enough to do anything.
I mean Spurs, Thunder, and
Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the Blazers, I don't think the Blazers are trash. I just don't think they're in the same conversation.
Yeah,
you know?
But I don't think trash is a fair word for any of them, but I think the Blazers are kind of comparable to the kind of teams in the East that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So we shall see. And I just don't think it's going to get very interesting until we get Spurs and Warriors, unless the Thunder can make this a much, you know. I mean, they've already won one game, so maybe they can make it an interesting series, but we shall see. By the way, as much as we beat up the Aggies yesterday, guess who else lost a commitment?
Who?
Ohio State. We were talking about how everybody loses them. Bruce Judson says he decommitted from Ohio State because Urban Meyer didn't know who he was. And, you know, Urban Meyer is one of the all-time great recruiters. So this ought to make you feel a little bit better, Aggie fan. But apparently the kid says, I was walking in the hallway about to go to the indoor field and work out. He was like, hey, I looked around and said, come here. He was like, how are you doing? You like your visit? I said, yeah. Then he's like, what up, Richard Lee Contre or whatever the guy's name. Are you showing this guy around? I was like, coach, I'm showing him around. He asked me, who are you? I told him Bruce. He said, oh, Bruce Judson from Florida, the speedy guy. I was like, yeah. He said, I'm glad that you're on board and glad you got up here. He said, after that, I knew I was decommitting. It's not too much to ask Urban Meyer to know who's recruits are.
No, it's tough, man. But it is tough for these coaches. That's one of the more difficult things, is trying to keep track of all these guys you're recruiting. And,
yeah,
and there's
the,
a lot of
guys.
You're not always the one recruiting them.
Right.
I mean, you got 100 something kids on your football team, and not to mention the 50 others that you've got offers out to. It gets to be a juggling act for sure.
Yeah, and not to excuse it, but it just goes to show that it happens everywhere.
No doubt.
That there's always something that happens with a kid that makes him change his mind. And so, yeah, whatever happened with Sumlin, you know, similar thing happened to Urban Meyer. It happens to everybody. But that's just part of the game. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776 for the text line. Black Greg says only one trash team made the playoffs, the Rockets. I would say Memphis, too, but Memphis was because of injuries. They didn't really have a choice.
Right.
They sucked for a different reason. But, yeah, the Rockets. I don't even want to talk about them.
No sense.
They're dead to me.
But let's not bring this up now.
Have you seen Amir Khan's wife?
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I mean, what can you say?
Well put together.
Yeah, she works out and stuff. I mean,
Mike Pearson approves.
Professional athlete at a really high level. I would assume he's marrying hot chicks. That's usually the way it works.
Not a fan of the fake face stuff, though.
What do you mean the fake face
like
stuff?
The fake lashes and the
That's every chick in the world, pretty much.
Yeah, well, those are a little much for me.
I've told you, makeup is basically the world's biggest lie to men. And these chicks go out there, and the makeup now, it's like it's not even fair. We are all being catfished by every woman out there.
Oh, well.
No one knows what they look like in real life.
Well, when you find out, that's the – it's usually too late by then. Did you see the latest Conor McGregor thing?
Yeah, don't even give it any credit. I mean, it's stupid. If it happens, we'll discuss it. I don't think it's happening. I don't think there's any way it happens. If it does
– well, for the people who haven't seen it.
Okay. Allegedly, there's a rumor that Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather are in talks to box. This would be the most humbling experience of Conor McGregor's life. I don't think he realizes – and it wouldn't even take Floyd Mayweather. It could take – I mean, if he boxed Amir Khan, who we can all agree is,
a very good fighter.
Good fighter, but nowhere near what Floyd Mayweather is. Amir Khan in a straight boxing match would destroy Conor McGregor. This is what he does for money. He's a boxer. He's a professional boxer. Conor McGregor is not.
You get that question a lot, who would win, boxer versus MMA guy, and the answer is pretty simple. And if it's an MMA fight,
which sport are they playing?
Yeah, it's almost always going to be the MMA person, and if it's boxing, it's almost always going to be the boxer. And, obviously...
That's like saying Adrian Peterson's such a badass athlete, I think he could beat LeBron one-on-one. No, he couldn't. If you're playing basketball, no, he couldn't.
Yeah, it's just too much. I mean, it really is. It's too much of a difference. They are similar sports, but they're not really that close. And, hey, if he's going to get a big payday out of it, that would be a big pay-per-view. People would pay for that garbage. It wouldn't last long, but they'd pay for it. I would not. I would be one of those people sitting that one out.
I mean, I would have to watch it.
Yeah, well, you would almost have to, yes. But I would not spend my money on it. How's that?
That's fair. What did you say, Joan? Oh, okay. Listen, if you're not going to be – well, I guess if you're not here in Vegas, like I am, unfortunately, I won't get to be at this thing. But it's going to be a great time tomorrow out at Kima. I've been telling you about this for a couple weeks now. The time has finally come to get out there and drink this beer. The Kima Craft Beer Fest goes on tomorrow from 2 to 5 p.m. You can go out there, drink some beer. You'll be home in time to watch the fights. The Kima Boardwalk and 24 breweries invite you to spend a day sampling over 72 of the best craft beers. They've got a lot of local stuff. They've got Carbach, St. Arnold, Buffalo Bayou. They've got a lot of the national brands, such as Goose Island, Firestone Walker, Lagunitas, Dogfish Head, Stone, and Deschutes. A lot of great beer out there, guys. It's going to be a really good time, really good drinks. Buy your tickets now. It's your last day to buy them in advance. Save some money from what they'll cost at the door. Or you'll save even more money if you're a Landry Select Club member or you've got a military ID. Admission includes beer samples, giveaways from beer vendors, and food samples. There's going to be live music all day. You can purchase your tickets out at the boardwalk on Kima at any of the ticket booths, or you can go online, kimabeerfest.com. All guests must present valid ID at the time of purchase because you've got to be 21 years of age, of course, to get in there. It's the Kima Craft Beer Fest. Once again, you can go to kimabeerfest.com for details. Enjoy that. That's tomorrow, May 7th, from 2 to 5 p.m., the Kima Craft Beer Fest. Like I always do,
and it's been a while. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here in Las Vegas, where the weigh-ins are going on right now. Usually, this place gets real packed after the weigh-ins because they're about, 100 yards from us. But, today they're doing it outside over in front of T-Mobile Arena.
Yep.
So it'll still be quiet in here. But weigh-ins are going on, and the fight is tomorrow night. And kind of wanted to follow up with something Lamont asked about. If one of your riders attempted what Brian Smith did, what would you do? And we talked about that in the first segment. You would have corrected it. But I have to say, and I also mentioned there's also editors theoretically who read these things. But in reality, look, no matter how many sets of eyes you get on things, sometimes you screw stuff up. We had much better resources than they have now, and we still had bad mistakes that just drove me nuts. I always would describe writing and editing. So I heard somebody describe it this way once, and I think it's It's perfect. Being an editor is like being a hockey goalie. If you face 60 shots, you're probably going to allow 5 goals. If you face 5, you're probably not going to allow any goals. And so an editor's job is really just to stop the puck. So it really is on the writer first and foremost when they write a piece. And as somebody who did both, I got pissed off big time if I screwed up either way. And, you know, it would drive me nuts. One of the reasons why I didn't want to do it anymore. I mean, it just – every time you mess something up, it just was impossible to deal with. And I remember once we had the brackets wrong for the tournament. One of our knuckleheads had the wrong regions squaring off.
Oh.
So it screwed up everybody's bracket. And you talk about, you know, feeling like absolute garbage for a week over that. And, I mean, we had to run the bracket like every day before the game started again just to make sure people had one. Because back then you had to cut them out and fill them out.
Oh, that was the worst.
Yeah. So
it's a bad time to blow it.
That is about as bad a mistake as you can make. And getting that phone call, not fun, believe me. All right, so Canelo Khan tomorrow night. We've got the Derby tomorrow. We got basketball playoffs. We got hockey playoffs. It's kind of a
decent sports time, huh?
It is. It is. It's always and now you'll have mini camps and stuff starting up for your football teams. I think Paxton Lynch was actually on the field with the Broncos today, and John Elway says he wouldn't be surprised if you see him sooner than people think, which, considering the other quarterbacks on the roster, would not shock me.
No,
and I that'll be the most interesting story going forward is, of all these rookies, how he does in that situation and what Paxton Lynch, how much he winds up playing, and if he does, how well he plays for that team. Because
I think they're hopeful that they don't have to play him much this year.
I think they hope
that that Mark Sanchez can go out there and just be what Peyton was last year or what Brock Osweiler was last year, and that they can give Paxton Lynch, who I think most people would agree was a little more of a raw prospect than the other two guys that went ahead of him, give him that time to get accustomed and get used to a playbook and you know, not be thrown into the fire early.
I would say, though, that Gary Kubiak's playbook is probably more friendly to a young quarterback than anybody's, because he limits what calls they have. They're not up there changing a bunch of stuff. And those rollouts enable you to get out and in some space to throw the football. And I would not be shocked if that guy winds up playing and winds up being the best of those three quarterbacks. And I said that before the draft. I'll say it now. I don't think any one of them were worth going top two. But where Paxton Lynch went was the perfect place for where those quarterbacks should have gone.
I agree.
And I think he's and I like him better than those other two. And you got him at 27. And apparently Jerry Jones is still, you know, still very upset that he did not give up a third-round pick to move up to 27.
Because he wanted to get him?
He wanted him bad, yeah. That was the plan. They tried. They had talks with Seattle. They'd offered their second and a fourth and something else. Seattle wanted a third. And Denver wound up giving a better package than what the Cowboys were offering. There's actually a pretty fascinating read on the whole thing on the Monday Morning Quarterback. If you get a chance, get a few minutes of spare time. He kind of went behind the scenes with everything that happened in the Cowboys war room, including some of the other players they thought about taking. And it's very well done. So if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. 713-780, if you ESPN, if you want to text the show. Of course, you can also tweet us. You can also get us on Facebook. And I'll ask you this. Is this a fight you would buy if you weren't going to be there?
I don't know. That's tough. I think I would.
Pearson's going to.
Yeah, I think I would. I think it's going to be a decent fight. I think now Canelo is kind of one of those guys where if you're a boxing fan, he's a guy that you pay to see.
Yeah.
I don't think there are a lot of those guys anymore, you know, especially since Mayweather's out. And, God, I don't know what it would take for me to buy a Mayweather fight. Because I don't know who they could put him in there against that interests me.
The only guy would be Golovkin.
And I don't know if I'm paying to watch Pacquiao fight anymore. So,
yeah, I don't think I am either.
I think Canelo may be the best pay-per-view draw out there right now. Although, I mean, obviously that Ward Kovalev fight, I'd pay $100 for that.
You know what? You and I would, and I know Pearson would, but is that one that is going to capture the average fan? I mean, I want to see that fight. I'll pay for that fight. But is that really going to draw the interest of even
the
Canelo fight?
I think it is. I mean, there's no – I mean, the as far as pay-per-view, I don't know, because Canelo has that Mexican audience that will buy all of his fights. But I think most people realize Ward Kovalev is one of the best fights that can be made right now.
I agree, but I just I wonder how much appeal it'll actually have. But beyond people who are into the sport, because people, if you're into boxing, you want to see that fight. There's no question. But we'll see. I want to see Golovkin fight anybody good. I'd pay for that too. I'd pay to watch him fight Canelo. I'd pay to watch him move. If you wanted to move up and fight either Ward or Kovalev, as Roy Jones was talking about, I'd pay for that. I just want to see him fight somebody real. And it's not really, so far it's his, not his fault. Nobody wants to fight him. I don't blame him. He's probably going to knock you out. But until we actually see him in against one of those guys, I don't know how it's going to turn out. So I guess the weigh-ins are now over. I don't know how much they weighed, but everybody looked happy. So
yeah.
There you go. And just a reminder, we're out here at the MGM Grand for Canelo and Khan. That will be on pay-per-view tomorrow night. 8 o'clock Central, so if you are looking for a fight to buy, so I know that Pearson's going to buy it. I will be watching it somewhere. I don't know if I'm going to buy it at home or go to a bar that's got it, but I will definitely be watching the fight, unless I make $1 million on the Kentucky Derby. And
then you're just going, you might fly back out here and get ringside seats.
No, I'm going to buy an island and disappear.
Oh, okay.
So you will never hear from me again. Well, I have to come, dude. I don't know if I have to give 2 weeks notice. I just won't show up Monday, and then you'll never see
me again.
You and Pearson can do the show. That'll be
Sounds
cool.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, anyway, 713-780-ESPN, if you want to get in. Did you see that the Coyotes hired a 26-year-old general manager?
No. Is he a genius?
He's a Moneyball equivalent hockey guy. I mean, he's an analytics guy.
Okay.
But 26 years old. He's been an assistant GM, and, you know, you're putting a 26-year-old in charge of a company that's valued at $220 million.
Good luck.
Yeah. I think he's
But you know what? There were people who said it was dumb to put Theo Epstein in charge of the Red Sox.
Right, at 28. So he's 13 years younger than the Coyotes' captain, Shane Doan. And the guy in the story mentioned he's also 3 years younger than Anna Kendrick. He says, I don't bring that up for any real reason. I just like Anna Kendrick a lot.
All right.
That's fair. But he was first hired as an analytics guru. And, Theo Epstein was 28 when he did it. He also did play, had a short career in junior hockey before co-founding a company called Statleets, a data company that analyzed the game. Then the Coyotes named him assistant general manager last year. Now he's already general manager. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. RJ Bell coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, we are back live from Radio Row here at the MGM. We're here for Canelo Khan, the fight tomorrow night at the T-Mobile Arena, the new arena out here in Las Vegas. And I love talking to RJ when we're out here in Vegas, in his town. He's always got the feel for this place. And RJ Bell from Vegas, RJ in Vegas on Twitter, joins us. RJ, how are you, sir?
Excellent, excellent. So you must have had a late night last night, struggling with that intro.
Oh, my God. I'm always struggling. You know what? Let me tell you what it was difficult. My wife is here. It's changed up my entire routine for how Vegas
tonight,
works for me.
All my plans for tonight are gone then, I guess.
Oh, I mean, I've got none. I'm responsible husband tonight, I got to say. All right, RJ, first let's talk about, I mean, I love talking to about the politics and how everything changes when these guys are dropping out. And we lost a couple more. And it looks like there's down to three. How did the odds change when Ted Cruz and now John Kasich dropping out of the race?
So when it comes to the Republican side, what we've got is a 99% type level chance with Trump. You never know. I mean, you know, knock on wood, but you never know about someone's health. You never know about accidents. So you can't say 100%. But we now are at the point where it's that kind of extreme, unlikely event and the otherwise Trump Republican nominee. On the Democrat side, you could pretty much say the same thing. As much as Bernie's taking it to California, taking it to the convention, it's really all over. But the shouting when it comes to who is going to be the nominee, and that's going to be Clinton. Now, you would say there's one other factor with her, which are the legal issues. And, you know, that's one of the reasons Joe Biden had some pretty decent odds throughout this entire process. The vice president was in the about the 35-1 range this entire time, because the assumption was, well, if somehow Clinton gets into legal trouble, emails, whatever, then, well, Bernie's not the guy because he's a socialist, went to thinking, thus Biden would come in as a white knight. Really, though, I think Sanders has proven to be so competitive, and for it to be such a close race, a lot of people believe if something did happen to Hillary in that regard, that it would be Bernie that would step in. But right now, well over 95% chance we're going to have Clinton versus Trump, and we have the odds on it. Right now, Clinton minus 275. $275 wins you 100. Trump plus 225. And if you do the math, it comes out 70% chance Clinton, 30% chance Trump.
And there's no room for anyone else in there, according to those odds, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, not. I mean, no one else is going to be, you know, better than. I mean, give me the scenario. Give me the most likely scenario.
The most likely scenario that Bernie wins every state for the rest of the.
But it's got to be like 70%. I mean, it's like
right.
If you look at the math, and that would only get her get him there with the pledge delegates. Now, if somehow he could win 70% of the electorate for the rest of the way, that would get him there with the pledge delegates, but then he would have to have the super delegates, and that would be a heck of a debate. So to me right now, it is a extreme long shot for anyone but Hillary on the Democrat side.
Over to the NBA, where things continue to go about the way we expected them to go. The favorites continue to look really good in most of these series. The Warriors now back with a negative, a minus in front of their name. Is that something you expect to see grow as we get further into the playoffs?
Well, yeah, because on one hand, every game you win, it's one less game you have to win, right? Obviously, of the 16. The other thing is, and I'm still going to make this case, and I made it last week, I'm going to make it again. Right now, Golden State is 6 wins out of the 16 necessary for the title, 6 out of 16. Entering the playoffs, they were 0 out of 16. Their odds entering the playoffs were minus 150 against the field. So you have to bet 150 to win 100. Now they're minus 110. So 6/16 of the way there versus none of the way there, but the odds were better before. Why could that? How could that be? What would drive that? Only one thing. Is even though the talk is Curry is going to be back, maybe game 3, maybe game 4, whatever, you know, I think there's some uncertainty, is there's real speculation, and it's built into these Vegas numbers, that Curry's not going to be 100%, and who knows for how long. Otherwise, and let me ask you, how in the world can you have 6 wins in and obviously, playing Portland was an advantage relative to a healthy Clipper team that was expected entering the playoffs, and your odds get worse other than uncertainty. It's not as if the Spurs are looking significantly better. Yeah, they looked really good the first 5 games. Now they've lost a game. If anything, the fact that the Spurs now have a best of 5 without home court, they're still favored, the Spurs, but there's a better chance of OKC beating San Antonio right now than there was entering the second round. So it seems like everything is pointing to Golden State's odds should have gotten better, but they've gotten worse. Why would that be?
And I guess the only reason that, like what I kind of agree with what you're saying, the only reason to doubt that Golden State is going to win is the health of Steph Curry. And if you're betting against Golden State, you're basically betting that Steph Curry is more injured than we're led to believe.
Agreed. And maybe it's not so much more injured. That I think what you said is possible. I also think there's uncertainty. that maybe he's going to come back and be 90%. And Curry at 90% obviously is a downgrade, and it obviously improves everyone's chances that would compete against them. So I do find it fascinating that you could be 6/16 of the way through an endeavor and have worse odds now than you did at the beginning of the endeavor.
Let's switch to the Kentucky Derby, which is obviously a big one of the biggest weeks, if not the biggest week, for the horse books, the horse side of the book. Even Fred, who is usually masterful with this stuff, doesn't seem to have like a clear-cut favorite on this. What are your thoughts, and why is there less buzz seemingly around this race than there has been?
I think last year it really benefited from the weekend. It was the Mayweather-Pacquiao weekend, and it was the draft weekend, so it was a lot of buzz, and everything got more attention. Last year was the biggest bet Kentucky Derby ever, $194 million. And a lot of that, remember now, I think it's pretty much every state you can bet horse racing online. So that's one of the advantages, but still a big number last year for a sport, quite frankly, that's trending downwards in every other way except these big Triple Crown races or maybe some other stray stuff. But day to day, horse racing is trending downwards. It's hard to take out 20% like the tracks do and have people play over multiple years and decades because it's so hard to beat. It is so hard to beat. For the race tomorrow, here's my general advice, and you guys know more about the horses than I do, and I always defer to the experts. That's one of the things we really strive to do at the website, is have people focus on what they do best. But here's a contrarian conceptual piece of advice I think you'd agree with. There's more public money bet on the Kentucky Derby race, that one race, than any other horse race in a given year. It's a pari-mutuel pool, which means all the money is put into a pot. The hold percentage, the 20% or so, is whacked out of there. And then in each individual pool, if it's win, play, show, perfecta, etc., is, you know, the money's taken out, and then based on the number of winning tickets, it's split up. That means the more dumb money, the more wrong money that's in the pool, the better the payoff. In my opinion, I know for sure the average recreational bettor, the kind of guy that only bets or gal a couple races a year, likes favorites. Don't necessarily like the number one favorite, but is going to usually pick one of the three or four favorites because they're already going to be able to bet a little to win a lot. If they're getting 8-1, 10-1, that's enough for them. They're not looking for 20-1, 30-1, etc. Too big of a long shot. So to me, I think the real prime fishing is amongst those long shots. Obviously, you're going to lose more than you win if you just count the frequency of winning and losing. You're going to have a big payoff when you don't, or when you do win. In my opinion, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, I do believe you're going to get a premium. You're going to get an extra payoff because of all that public money, that extra payoff being if you bet some of the underdogs.
Yeah, I think especially if you're betting win, play, show. I guess if you're doing some of the exotics, you probably realize you need to have at least one of those front-runner horses, and you need to pick the right ones. But you also need the right ones to lose as well. But I think if you're just doing win, play, show, the only value is if you've got a long shot horse. That's why Fred likes that two horse, which seems to, I mean, he thinks it's going to go off at around 20-30-1.
And obviously, there's not going to be, I mean, imagine if you're walking up, you don't bet the horses, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, 30-1. It sounds good, but it doesn't, you know, and that's the flip side. You know, we have Powerball coming up this weekend in a big number, but that's something, the number's so big, people kind of accept, hey, I'm going to lose this, but wow, I can dream on it a little bit. 30-1 is right in between. You can't really dream on it, but you also know you're a huge long shot, and that's why the recreational people tend to stay away.
All right, before we let you go, I got to ask you about this Leicester City. How crazy of an upset is this? How crazy of a long shot was it? Is there anything you can compare it to?
5,000-1. Now, let's
compare it.
Let's compare it to a few things. 1999 Rams, right? Back up Kurt Warner, bagging groceries not that long before. 300-1, biggest Super Bowl long shot in memory. 300-1. Right? You multiply that by 10, it's 3,000-1. So it's like almost 20 times as unlikely what Leicester City did. Now, another example, Buster Douglas. Everyone that hears that thinks Tyson, upset, mouth guard, Japan. Well, Buster Douglas, Only guy in town, Jimmy Vaccaro, at the Mirage at the time, had odds in that fight 42-1. Think about that. 100 times less likely Leicester City, what they did. Last thing. Let's say a listener says, wow, 5,000-1, that sounds pretty good. I wonder what I could bet right now at 5,000-1. Well, William Hill, the book that had Leicester City at 5,000-1, a European book, currently has the following betting proposition also at 5,000-1. You get paid 5,000-1 if Elvis Presley is found alive. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? It's true. The Europeans bet on anything. So really, if you say how unlikely was this, other than the math of 5,001, about as unlikely as Elvis Presley being found alive.
Do you think this is going to change the way those European books do their numbers? Like, you think this is the last time we'll ever see 5,000-1 on a team that's actually, you know, playing games that year?
Other than Elvis, you mean?
Well, other than Elvis. I mean, on an actual sports prop.
No, I understand. Not the good ones, because the good ones love. This is the difference between, you know, it's funny. I hate bookies. I really hate them because they can beat someone 19 straight weeks. And if the guy wins the 20th, they get mad. You know, Arnold Rothstein, a famous gambler, he's the guy that supposedly fixed the 1919 World Series. I've read a number of books about him. They talked about him in Godfather 2, some people might remember. And the Black Sox, obviously, movie, is the idea that he thought was you like it when the suckers, quote unquote, win because it gives them a little flavor. It's one of the things that poker does so well. There's so much luck in poker that, yeah, if you're better, you're going to win the money in the long run. But the lesser players have a chance to win over an extended period of time, just not the long run. To me, this is great publicity for those big payoffs. The books should love it. Some of them are myopic and, you know, short-sighted. They're not going to like it. They're going to say, we're going to put a cap on this. But the big boys, they have enough liquidity. They love the attention, and they love the idea of someone dreaming on, and you're probably getting near it at 5,000-1.
That's RJ Bell from pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Appreciate you taking the time this week, RJ, as always. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
My pleasure.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hey, guys, join me and the ESPN 97.5 road crew in the special ESPN 97.5 section beginning at 1 at Sam Houston Race Park tomorrow for the Kentucky Derby. We've got a handicapping contest, and everyone's welcome to play. Whether you won tickets or not, you can come by and play that contest, watch, wager, and win with Sam Houston Race Park and ESPN 97.5. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Okay, we go to the Daily Mail, which is pretty good for these things in England. But a woman has filmed a tense moment where she confronted a convicted video. It's a voyeur, right? Yeah, voyeur.
Yeah.
Known for, this French words throw me off.
Voyeur.
Oui. For preying on women at Target. Apparently, Candace Spivey had been shopping at the store in Yulee, Florida, of course, when she was approached by Jeffrey Polizzi in the bikini section. The shopper said she immediately recognized the 31-year-old who had come up to her in a different store 2 years ago and began asking her inappropriate questions of a sexual nature, all while filming her on his phone. What a weirdo. So, basically, she confronted him, asking if he remembered her. He immediately bolted from the store. She gave chase behind him and shouting for shoppers and staff to call the police. The video ends with Polizzi, who has previous convictions for voyeurism. So I didn't realize that was a crime, being a voyeur.
I see. I think I'm not sure if it is necessarily, depending on how you do it. Like if you're watching a chick take a dump, like with a shoe camera or something,
yeah,
that's illegal.
Okay.
And also really weird. But I think like just going up to random chicks and talking to them with your cell phone and asking them weird stuff is not technically illegal.
Yeah, apparently they...
It probably should be.
Okay, because that's kind of a cool name, Voyeur. I mean, French names all sound cool, right? Except for, like, Napoleon.
Yeah.
But even that sounds cool. But anyway, he got away, but they identified his truck, and after a short police chase, he was pulled over and arrested for reckless driving. And they also confirmed he'd previously been charged with video voyeurism and issued an appeal last week for other potential victims to come forward. Apparently, a bunch of them have come forward now since they did that. They said they were approached by him in similar scenarios. So basically, if you were out shopping for bikinis and you're a woman, I mean, maybe if you're a man, I don't know what his tastes were, this dude comes up and videos you and asks you inappropriate questions.
Yeah. Like, he talks about, oh, my wife bought this dress, but I'm worried it's too see-through. Like, what kind of panties should she wear? And then he talks about how, like, his wife grooms herself and things like that. But I'm fairly sure that guy's definitely not married.
Yeah, probably not.
And if he is, his wife's probably really pissed at all these accusations.
Unless she's weird.
Also creepy.
Yeah. But, for instance, he started asking, should his wife wear the maxi dress with no panties? Yeah, that's creepy. I'm sorry. But anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. So, been a fun week so far, and we've got a bunch of interviews coming up for you in the next hour, including Lennox Lewis, which I'm very excited about that
yes.
one.
Yes.
That's we talked about this a little bit, him being kind of the last great heavyweight, but that really was the golden era of heavyweights, where he went through and fought guys like Tyson and Holyfield and the weird thing that happened with Oliver McCall, where he basically just started crying in the middle of the fight. There just hasn't been anything like that in the heavyweight division since. And that's no knock on Klitschko, who's a terrific fighter, but there's just nobody for him to fight that has any kind of appeal like that. Because when you think about it, you had all those guys. You had Razor Ruddock. It was just a fun time for heavyweights. And unfortunately, we just don't have that right now. I mean, the best fighters are all guys like we're going to see tomorrow night with Canelo and obviously.
Smaller guys.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's cool, but I like the big guys.
I'm with you.
Always have. So, anyway, if you want to get in, now is probably your time to text us at 713-780-3776 or Twitter, Facebook. You know all the ways to do it. And you got any action going tonight on anything?
I've got some action on the under in the Dodgers-Blue Jays game, which, as you know, I don't bet baseball or basketball, but because we're in Vegas and there's nothing else going on.
You have to.
I have to.
It's a moral imperative.
So I took the under in that game. And I'm on Spurs -2.
Okay. I like that. Actually, I think Spurs are going to romp tonight.
I think the Spurs are salty at the way that last game finished.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. But I have a few possible plays for the weekend on hockey, but I'm so far behind on that. But I do like the Tampa Bay tonight to get another win in New York and take control of that series. And it's -110, so I wouldn't get too crazy about that. I also, Saturday, I like the Blues +100 quite a bit.
All right.
And here's another one for you. Penguins +130. I think they close that series out. And your Preds on Saturday are +140 to win. And I think there's a good chance they go up 3-2. And that was such an exciting game last night with triple overtime and disallowed goal, which I got to say should not have been a disallowed goal, but – hey, it worked out for your Preds.
That was awesome. That was so cool. I mean, you know, I'm not. Sometimes these games get to be too long. You get to three overtime. It's like, good Lord, just
get this
thing over
with. Somebody has to screw up at that point, basically.
Yeah, just get this thing over with. But still, it was awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to take a very quick break. We come back. We've got interviews, and more interviews, and lots of really good stuff for you. So don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Hey, guys, got to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. Texas Mattress Makers is blowing them away with the biggest Memorial Day sale ever. And when they say sale at Texas Mattress Makers, they mean it. Because you're already saving 50% off of what you would pay at a retail store. Because they make the mattresses right there at Texas Mattress Makers and sell them directly to you. So you're already saving at least 50% over what you pay in a retail store. Well, during this Memorial Day sale, how about this? You're going to save anywhere from 5 to 50% off factory prices on handcrafted quality mattresses custom fitted just for you. See what a difference going to the factory makes. Man, they use real wood, real steel, quality materials. You get a chance to see how these things are made, and you realize just what kind of quality you're getting. Plus, you're going to get one that helps you sleep perfectly for you. Save at the biggest Memorial Day sale ever. TexasMattressMakers.com, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. Tell them I sent you. I promise you they will take care of you, anywhere from 5 to 50% off factory prices for Memorial Day. Visit them now at 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Texas Mattress Makers, TexasMattressMakers.com.